How are you doing? Good. It's really good to see you. So Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you very much. So somebody, I don't know who this is, but somebody in this room is now one of my top 10 favorite people. Maybe it's not this room, maybe it's next service, but I found this in my box in the office. Can y'all read that? No. If you can't read it, it says, "This is my Hallmark Christmas movies watching shirt." Yes. I just don't know what to say. No, I thought that was really neat. I came home, came to the office yesterday and found that in my box. I really appreciate whoever that was. Thank you so much. I appreciate that you're paying attention to when I up here teaching. But let's see if you're paying attention to some other things. So here's, I'm going to give you a quiz, all right? I appreciate the t-shirt. I appreciate you sharing with me your favorite movies, and I continue to watch them. And just talked to someone who said they just watched 2 yesterday. I was like, wow, that's awesome. You can never watch enough, okay? But we have been talking about Jesus these past 3 weeks, and I want to continue to point you to him because he's the most important person in the world. So we started out the first week and we talked about Christmas, right? It's the story of redemption, right? It's a story of redemption. It's more than just the what of Christmas, but it's the why Jesus was born. It was why God sent Jesus. And so I don't know if you remember this, but the very first message I had said that Jesus is the way out of... Okay. All right, we got to go back to the beginning. Here we go. All right. Jesus is the way out of whatever you're in, right? Oh, that's right. I just didn't want to say it. I know. I didn't want to be like the nerd in school who knows everything. I get it. It's okay. So then the second week, we looked at the story of the woman who cried at the feet of Jesus and she poured the perfume on his feet. And we learned that Jesus is the way out from whoever you have been. Yes, very good. Somebody else said sin. That also counts. Okay, that's good. Jesus is the way out from whoever you've been, right? Redemption. This freedom from our past. We don't have to be who we were. We don't have to live with these labels. But God forgives us through his son, Jesus Christ. And last week, Pastor Tim talked about the present. So Jesus is what? I just hear a lot of, okay, yes, they all count. They're all correct answers. Jesus is the way to make the most of your present. He looked at the story of the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus, and both of them met this man, Jesus. But only one of them in his present moment took full advantage, right? He took the opportunity that Jesus gave him right there in that moment, and he began to live his life differently. Now, this would be amazing if any of you can get today's message right now before I start. That would be amazing. All right. Jesus is the way forward. Jesus is the way forward. We're going to talk about that today. Remember, Scrooge had a past and a present and a future. And we talked about Jesus and how he redeemed your past, your present, and your future. And today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how Jesus is the way forward. Jesus is the way to have a future. He has redeemed you. He has pulled you out from whatever you're in so that you could move forward and have a future. This is the Christmas story. It's a way out and it's a way forward. And at times we all need a little help moving forward. I was in this race this past summer. It's called a Spartan race. And some of you in this room have done it with me. Some of you might have seen it on TV. But there's this obstacle in the race, and it's this. It's called the horizontal bar climb. And so this is about 12 feet up off the ground. And you can see that there's a sign that says, you can fall. Okay. It's not an easy race. And so I began to climb up this horizontal bar, and I got to the top. And next to me was a woman who was clinging to the top bar, and she was struggling. She was almost whimpering in a way. It was like she was really nervous that she was going to fall. And this is high up. And she just couldn't get over the top bar. She had one arm over and she was trying to get her foot over the top and she just couldn't. And I had gotten to the top and I was ready to keep running the race because I wanted to finish. I wanted to move forward, but I felt like I can't leave this woman dangling from the top and I'd feel horrible if she fell. So I started to help her. And so I came over to her where she was on the bar and I said, "Give me your hand. We can do this together. We can make it through this," right? And her face began to change and she began to get some strength and some encouragement. And I began to pull on her arm and then she got her foot and I'm grabbing her. I'm helping her get over that bar and she gets over the bar and we both get down to the ground. And this woman is just elated. She's like, "Oh, I never thought I was going to get past this." She looks at me and she says something so wonderful. She says, "You are my guardian angel." I said, "No, ma'am, I'm just a pastor." And then I kept running on my way in the race. Sometimes we get stuck, right? Sometimes we come up to these moments in our life and we don't know how we're going to move forward. We don't know when we're going to move forward. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is the way forward. So that's what this message is about. There's going to be these times in your life when you feel like you're stuck. There's a mountain, there's an obstacle, and you can't get forward. But Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of God pulling you from whatever you are in, pulling you out of that so that he can give you a future so that you can move forward. He came to be born, to live, and to die, to set you free so that you could have a future, so that you could move forward. There's this story, I want you to turn there in Luke chapter 2. It's a really neat story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I've been studying this passage for a few weeks, and I just think sometimes God gives you some ways to look at a passage differently. And so I was looking at this passage and it's a story of a man named Simeon, a woman named Anna, and baby Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 25, but I want to give you a little bit of background. So Jesus has been born, okay, at this point in Luke chapter 2. Jesus has been born. And as a Jewish male baby, they have to be circumcised on the eighth day because God made this deal with Abraham. And so on the eighth day, every male baby boy was to be circumcised. Okay, if you don't know what that means, look it up. Okay, I'm not going to get into it. Okay, ask your mom and dad. All right. And then after the eighth day, there was another thing that had to happen for any firstborn male boy. Okay. And what's interesting is that firstborn male boy had to be redeemed from the Lord. Because God said in the Old Testament that all firstborn males belong to me. That's what God said to the Jewish people. And so that baby Jesus belonged to God. But if you wanted to, in a sense, get your baby back, you needed to give an offering. And so this is where we pick up the story. Mary and Joseph have taken baby Jesus to Jerusalem and they need to give this offering in the temple in order to redeem Jesus, to kind of, in a sense, buy him back from God. Okay. And then let's pick up the story in 25 and Jesus. Simeon and Anna are going to have an encounter with baby Jesus. Verse 25, "There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, and he said, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel.'" Now let's stop right there for a second. Don't read ahead, because I'm actually going to skip verses 33 through 35 and come back to that at the end of the message, so don't read ahead. I know you're tempted. I know some of you are going to be like that little kid on Christmas morning who sneaks downstairs to find all the presents. Don't be that kid today. Okay? So don't read ahead. But there's this man and his name is Simeon. And he's righteous and devout. And he's in Jerusalem. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means to be consoled, right? You're consoled when you feel bad, when something bad happens or when something tough comes along, and you want to be consoled. You want to be comforted. And so there's this man in Jerusalem, and his name is Simeon, and he's waiting to be comforted. And I began to think about Simeon, and we're going to do this again for Anna, but I began to think about his life. And if his life were a line graph, it might look like this. Here's this man who has been living life, and he's probably had his ups, and he's probably had his downs, and everything below the dashed line, I would say, is below par. So there's this man, Simeon, and he's been in Jerusalem, and he's been waiting and waiting and waiting to be consoled. And he finds baby Jesus. Well, there's a woman in this story, too, so skip down to verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. Isn't that great? It's like your one appearance in the Bible, and the one thing God says about you is like, you are old. All right, there's more. We're going to come back. That's really important, though, okay? We don't have these details in here for no reason. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Christmas is a story of redemption. Jesus is the way forward. You have this man, Simeon, who I believe experienced some lows in his life and probably some highs, but it's in the lows that he's looking for some comfort. And now you have this woman, and her name is Anna. And Anna's life starts out wonderful. She gets married. In Jewish culture, people tended to get married younger, especially the girls, okay? But just for number's sake, I'm going to say she got married at 18. And she was married for how long, it says? 7 years. Good, you're paying attention to the details. So let's just say she's 25, is that right? 18 plus 7? Somebody nod at me. Yeah, okay. Thank you. She's 25. Now, why is it important to know that she's old? How old is she? Okay. So how long has she might have been a widow? That's getting tough for the math. I know, 59 years. 59 years. If this woman's life were a line graph, it starts out wonderful. She's married at 18. She marries the man of her dreams. He is tall, he is dark, he is handsome, he is Jewish. And 7 years later, he dies. And her life bottoms out. And it never recovers. And you have two people in this story in Luke chapter 2 who are experiencing some really tough moments in life. And yet somehow, they kept moving forward, right? I mean, she's 84. For 59 years, she kept moving forward every day. Why? Why? There's this promise that God made to his people. He made this promise multiple times in Scripture. In fact, in the spring, I'm going to do a series on Jesus in the Old Testament and how throughout the Old Testament, God made these promises to each generation. He talked about this person who would come. He talked about this Jesus. And he didn't say the name Jesus in the Old Testament, but he talked about someone who was coming and who all of Israel should put their hope in and wait for. And Simeon and Anna were both devout, God-loving Jewish people. And in every moment of their life, in every high and every low, especially the lows, you know what kept them moving forward was this promise from God that one day God would come. See, in every low of their life, Jesus was the way forward, wasn't he? They didn't know his name was Jesus. They just knew they were waiting for someone. They had this hope. They had this faith in God that he was going to provide someone. And so for 59 years, Anna wakes up and she might remember her husband who's gone. But then she remembers this promise from God. And so she moves forward and she moves forward. And Simeon, in those days where he felt like, man, this is so tough. God, where are you? But God, you've given me this promise. And so I move on and I move on. And what's interesting are the names of these two people. Simeon means God hears me. You think that God could care less about your life sometimes, but the truth is that God actually hears you. And we know this from Genesis chapter 29 because the name Simeon means that God hears you. And he was speaking to a woman. God had given a woman who couldn't have a baby, and she named him Simeon because God heard her cry. Anna's name means grace. Phanuel means the appearance of God. When Jacob wrestled with God back in Genesis, he named the place the face of God. And the tribe of Asher is one of the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament, and Asher means happy. When this woman had the baby, it brought her happiness and joy. And what's very interesting in these two names is that you see a God who hears you, who sees you in your lowest lows, and he tells you to look to his promise, to look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus in those lowest lows, you see the face of God. And you can find joy, and you can find happiness, and you can find a way to move forward. If your life were a line graph, what would it look like right now? Feel free to draw it out. There's paper and there's pencil in the pews there. Maybe you got a handout when you walked in. But if you want to draw out your life in the last year, go ahead. Maybe you want to do the last 5 years. But just think, if your life were a line graph, what does it look like? You have some highs. You have some lows. You got some real lows. And then how would you move forward? How would you move forward? Do you move forward without Jesus? Do you move forward in committing to make more money? Do you move forward by turning to the bottle? Do you move forward by turning to some things on the internet that maybe you shouldn't be looking at? So we all come to these moments in life where we feel like we can't move forward, but we have to move forward. And I want to tell you today that Jesus is the way forward. It is not found in anything else. Simeon and Anna found it when they held baby Jesus. He was probably close to 2 months old at the time. And they saw God's promise. They saw the face of God. And it is a promise they'd been waiting for. It was a promise that helped them to keep moving forward despite the struggles of their life. And they found everything they were hoping for in Jesus. So how do you move forward? Are you here today and you feel like, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this season. I don't know how I'm going to make it to next year. Jesus. Christmas, a story of redemption. Jesus, the gift from God that would pull you out from whatever you are in and give you a future. Give you a way forward from whatever you're in right now. And that's true of anything in the future. You might find yourself in something in the future. Guess what? Jesus is still the way forward. This is Christmas. This is why Jesus at Christmas. There's this verse I really like in John 10:10, and it says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And this is what Jesus says in John 10, and he's talking about being the gate, and he's talking about being the good shepherd. And he says, I am the way
to life. I am the way to full life. I am the way to the future. I am the way forward for you. There is no one else, no other thing in the world that you could put your hope and trust in other than me that will bring you fullness of life. That is the Christmas story. That is why Jesus was born. But, Bobby, you don't know my life. Bobby, you don't know that I tried Jesus and he failed me. I knew you were going to say that. That's why I put it on the slide. I know this is what you're thinking, some of you in this room. You don't understand. I'm not Simeon. I'm not Anna. My life is totally different, and God has failed me, and Jesus has failed me. I've tried Jesus. I'm so grateful that you were honest with me this morning, because that's why we have Luke 2, 33 through 35, and so now you can turn there. I didn't say it was going to be easy to move forward with Jesus. I'm just telling you that Jesus is the way forward. I didn't say it was going to be easy. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's not going to be easy. Now look at these verses that we skipped over. This is Simeon talking to Mary and Joseph. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." He's talking to Mary, telling her that she's going to watch his son die one day, and it's going to break her heart. See, Jesus is the way forward, but it's not easy, and that's why Simeon says that Jesus is going to cause the rising and the falling of many. And Jesus is going to become a stain, and Jesus is going to become someone to be hated or someone to be loved. In the ups and downs of your life, you need to move forward with Jesus. But I get it. It's not always easy, because sometimes it seems that God fails us. And Jesus fails us when we put our faith in him. Jesus will cause the rising and the falling of many. What Simeon to me is saying is that you gotta figure out who you think Jesus is. It is going to be so difficult sometimes to move forward with Jesus. It's going to be difficult to put your faith and trust in Jesus when he doesn't come through in the way that you want him to come through. And your decision today is whether or not you will believe who he says he is. You will believe what God says about him. You will believe what the scriptures say and testify to who Jesus is. It is not easy to move forward with Jesus, and some, maybe some in this room, will rise, and maybe some in this room will deny him and fall. Christmas is a story of redemption. It's a story of a way forward, but it's not easy all the time, because you go through stuff and you want to trust in Jesus and it doesn't work out the way that you want it to work out, and it just makes it so hard. But Jesus. And just like Simeon and Anna, we have to trust in God. We have to trust in Jesus that one day, everything we have been looking for and hoping for will come to fruition. But it's only in Jesus Christ. And so I want to offer you some scriptures this morning. I want to offer you some scriptures that I hope will encourage you, that I hope will help you move forward even when it's difficult. And I want to go back to John 10:10 because I believe that this is a really good one. Jesus promises life to the full. There's another part to this verse that I didn't put in there, but it says that the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. That's the other option. See, with Jesus, he offers you a full life, but when you abandon Jesus, the alternative in John 10:10 is destruction and death and loss of everything. And so though at times it may be hard to follow Jesus, at times it might not feel like your life is full, the alternative is nothing. And so I want to encourage you to continue with Jesus as the way forward. There's another verse that I really like in Hebrews. And it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's not always easy to move forward with Jesus, and you might want to give up because you feel like he has failed you. But if you continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, if you continue to make your aim to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, if you have faith in him, you will not grow weary. You will not lose heart in those tough moments if you're looking at Jesus. And lastly, I call this scripture one day. One day. Because I know that all of us one day would love to experience a life without pain, without tears, without hunger, without thirst, without debt, without hate, without war, without loneliness. And I call this scripture one day because it talks about one day when Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, he makes everything right. See, Jesus came the first time to be born on earth to save us from our sin, to give us an eternal future. And then one day, Jesus comes back again, and he makes everything right on earth. And after that, God does away with this earth and all its pain and all its suffering and all its heartbreak. And he creates this new world. And he invites us to come into it. And it says in Revelation 21, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But this day doesn't come unless Jesus. This day doesn't come unless Jesus. Jesus is the future. Jesus is your way forward. Jesus is your way forward to that one day where you're just hoping that everything will be made right. Jesus. He has redeemed you so that you could have a future. He has redeemed you so that you could move forward. He has redeemed you so that you could have life and have it to the full. If only you would fix your eyes on him, even when it's really tough. Jesus. A story of redemption. I just want to sum up our entire series together, and it's this. Jesus is the way out. He's the way now, and he's the way forward. Jesus is the way out, he's the way now, and he's the way forward. This is the Christmas story. This is redemption. This is God looking at his creation, us looking at his world, and hearing and seeing every horrible thing that has happened. And he's saying, you know what? No more. No more, because I love you, and here is my son, Jesus, whom we celebrate at Christmas to be a way out for you. Jesus, to be the way right now for you, to make a decision right now, to make the most of your life right now. Jesus, for tomorrow. Jesus, so that you can have a future. Jesus, so that you could have forever one day that is absolutely perfect. I love the lights. I love the presents. I love the songs. I love the snacks. But I love Jesus the most at Christmas. Because he means everything, doesn't he? I don't know everyone in this room, I don't know your story, but I know Jesus, and I know he's what you need. Whether it's for your past, your present, your future, I know that you need Jesus. Maybe some of you come to church because it's Christmas season and you're just supposed to, and you do that in December. Some of you, you come to church all the time. It doesn't matter whether you're here one time or all the time. It's Jesus for all of us. And I would love to share with you an opportunity to have a way out and a way for now and a way forward. And his name, if you didn't catch on to this, his name is Jesus. And God calls us to put our faith in Jesus. And God calls us also to recognize who we are. And who we are broken people. We do these things. We think these things. We say these things. And they come from a broken heart. And the Bible calls that sin. And this morning there's an opportunity for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus was born for you that so he could live, so that he could die, so that he could be the way out for you and the way forward, if you don't know that, if you don't know him as that person, you can know him this morning as that person. I believe the greatest gift you could receive this Christmas is Jesus Christ. And I'd love for you to have an opportunity, if you don't know him, if you don't have him in your life, to have him in your life. And it's very simple. Jesus died on a cross to take all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our sin, the wrong things that we do. And he died with those things, and he took him to the grave, and he was buried in the grave. And the story doesn't end there, because Jesus rose from the grave. He beat death. He beat sin. He beat sorrow. He beat pain. He beat all of that stuff. And he left it in the grave. And he rose again, free from it all. And he offers you that freedom. If only you would believe in him. This is the Christmas story. This is the gospel. The good news of Jesus being born so that we could be set free. If there's anyone in this room who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and wants to be set free, this is your opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. And if you want to do that, I would love for you to just slip your hand up and let me know. Or stand up. Or you could even come down to the front. It doesn't bother me. I already know Jesus. But if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, this is your chance. Would anyone like to take that chance this morning? If you're here and you've put your faith in Christ, that's amazing. If you've already put your faith in Christ, like me, that's amazing too. And if you're here and you want to do it, but you didn't do it today, and you're just too afraid, that's okay too. We can talk later. But just know that Jesus and what you believe about him is everything. Everything. And it's the Christmas story. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for the Christmas story. We thank you that you gave us your son, Jesus Christ, born as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, so that we could be set free from who we've been, from the mistakes we make now, and from a future apart from you. I pray, Father, for those in this room who do not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would put their faith in him. And Father, for us in this room who know Jesus as our Savior, that, Father, we would move faithfully forward with you, proclaiming this message, this good news, today and tomorrow and forever, because there is nothing, no one greater than Jesus. Father, may this Christmas season be relaxing for us. May this Christmas season be filled with joy and friends and family and love. But most of all, God, may we be looking to you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.